Welcome to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The gaming industry is hugely successful. Games like Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto V have made headlines over the last few years thanks to record-breaking sales. It makes sense when you consider that almost 60% of all Americans play video games. That's about 185 million people in the United States alone. It's clear that many people enjoy losing themselves while they play. But if you're Latino, it can be hard to find yourself in the games. About 3% of video game characters can be identified as Latino. People, that's 3%. And of that 3%, only 5% of those are characters that you can actually use to play. These very small numbers are according to a study published in the journal New Media and Society in 2009. Things are changing, though it isn't always easy. Last year's so-called Gamergate controversy showed just how resistant some gamers are to change, and also how much others want it. So, for today's show on Gaming the System, we bring you another in our four-part series on diversity in geekdom. Latino USA producer Daisy Rosario has our story.
Video games for me, I started playing as a kid because, you know, they all came out around that time with Nintendo and Super Nintendo.
This is Mary Lourdes. She's a comedy writer and former co-host of the video game podcast Unlimited Lives. Mary loves games. She loves the sense of play and all the different ways that we use games.
When I'm on the subway and I just need to, like, kill a moment and, like, not think about anything, I could play, like, a phone game. Or I can play a game that I think about for, like, days because it's, like, a long adventure game that I'm, like, living in another world. Or I could go to a party and we'll, like, play, like, a karaoke game, you know? So it really is just something that's, like, become part of what I do and what I think about.
Even though Mary has loved games her whole life, she's still surprised by certain things.
I didn't realize how much I have a different experience from men when I play games and how much that shapes what I want to play.
Mary says she normally shies away from playing open format, large world games online because that means you'll have to interact with other online players. Given the option, she'll play a game offline and just follow the story. When the beta version of a new game called Destiny was released last year, Mary decided to try playing it online so she'd be ready to talk about it for her podcast. At first, it was great. She had really positive interactions with other players. That changed when her avatar started roaming around a marketplace area.
And this guy kept following me around because I was playing as a woman, and, like, he would make his character kneel so that his head was in my character's rear end.
Mary did not enjoy it. She says she's used to certain things. For example, playing online, everyone gets called names. Male, female, doesn't matter. That's something she knows and accepts.
But what I realized struck me the most is that I play games for the same reason that men do. I want to escape my reality. But even when I'm playing games, I can never escape the fact that I'm a woman. Like, I just can't get away from it. And it bums me out because it's like, we're all here for the same thing.
But being there for the same reasons doesn't mean everyone has the same experience.
It's the first time I realized, like, oh, I'm not only am I living in a different world in my life, I'm living in a different world in games.
Everyone I've known throughout my entire life growing up has played video games.
David Brothers is a former comic book journalist who now works at Image Comics. He also started playing video games as a kid. He noticed a lack of diversity that went beyond the male-female divide.
As a kid, pretty much any character who wasn't a white guy, and even a lot of the white guys, were stereotypes. So it led to a situation where, for example, at one point there were more black boxers in fighting games than there were black main characters in every other video game.
David says he thinks video games aren't diverse for a few reasons. One is that companies are hesitant to put out characters from different communities because they're afraid they'll get them wrong. Or that those games just plain won't make money.
If a game comes out and it's got a lady as a hero and then it doesn't sell any copies, they're like, oh, well, it must be because there was a woman and guys don't want to play as women. But women play video games. Like, you know, I grew up playing video games with my cousin and she's definitely a lady.
In fact, it's not just ladies like David's cousin who play video games. A lot of women do. According to the Entertainment Software Rating Board, 40% of gamers are women. Though there are differences of gender, race, and ethnicity, David says there are certain things that we all understand.
Everyone knows what it's like to fear losing a parent, or to fear being a bad parent even, or even just waking up and like having a bad day and stubbing your toe and, you know, cussing out an ottoman or something like that. All of our experiences are relatable as long as you deliver them in a way that we can recognize what's going on.
And for him, this is part of the magic of video games.
You're essentially living someone else's story. And this is as true of role-playing games where, you know, you're the hero in a small town and you go out and slay the evil king and become king. Or even sports games. I play a lot of NBA 2K14, which is just NBA basketball. And that's it. You can create a player or you can play as the actual players. Here's Paul after the made shot from Usher. You can see the eye contact. But while you're playing those games, it's totally a... you sink into the game. It becomes your reality.
And sometimes living someone else's story can make you deal with your own.
There is a game called Papa and Yo.
It's Papa and Yo.
But it was created by a developer, and it's essentially about the developer's relationship with his father as a kid. His father was scary and abusive, but also very loving and supportive at the same time.
The game follows a little boy named Kiko and his best friend, Monster. Monster is addicted to frogs, and when he eats them, his personality grows violent and abusive. But Kiko still loves Monster and wants to save him.
I've been playing that game very slowly over the past few years because just the father issues in it are so real and so resonant that it's hard to take for very long. It's fun, it's excellent, but it's harrowing on a very personal level for me. And it's been one of my favorite games just because of that.
That game, Papo Io, was created by this guy.
My name is Vander Caballero. I'm creative director and presidente of Minority Media.
Though he now runs Minority Media in Montreal, Vander grew up in Colombia. He says his hard childhood made video games very important to him. That is, until he hit his teens and found girls.
And then I abandoned games for a bit. And I remember one night I was walking with a girlfriend of mine, and we were walking in front of Blockbuster, and I saw Mario in 64, and suddenly went, wow, that's 3D graphics.
So Vander studied industrial design. There weren't video game programs at the time, though that has changed. He says that while you might not see it reflected in the games, it's not a secret to the companies who's playing the games.
They're really aware, big companies are really aware of who's playing those games.
This awareness even led to work for Vander at some well-known video game companies, like Electronic Arts or EA.
So my first job at EA was working for FIFA.
FIFA, as in football or soccer? The game features real teams and players from around the world.
I was an art director for FIFA, and they were looking for people with that experience from another cultural point of view. And that it was really valuable. So we were a multicultural team when we were working on FIFA, and it was amazing. So we're really aware of who's playing the game, so for who are we building games for.
But not every experience is as multicultural as working on a game about international soccer teams. Take what happened when he worked on the game Army of Two.
There was a moment that we were designing the two characters. A bunch of guys were pushing to be Caucasians, and I said, like, no, if both heroes are Caucasians, I'm leaving. And then I was able to put an immigrant character, Tyson Rios, in the game.
After 8 years working for the big companies, Vander started Minority Media, precisely so he could make games like Papo Io. The game got great reviews. Sometimes Vander hears from fans who, like David, see something of themselves in the game. One day, Vander even got a letter he never expected.
I received a letter from a dad, a single dad, who wrote to me saying, I love Papo Io because when I was playing, I realized how my kid felt when I screamed to him. And then I went, wow. I was not only able to touch the victims, but also the aggressors. I never thought I would be able to touch someone like my father.
And for Vander, that means everything.
It is so beautiful. I think right now as an artist, I could die. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish.
Vander sees his success as a reason to be hopeful.
I'm the example that is changing, and it could change. We just need more time and more people who has the opportunity to be in position of power, being minorities, to influence the choices.
But getting diverse voices into those positions is a big challenge when people don't feel welcome. Mary Lourdes is a good example.
I mean, everything I hear about women in the industry is that they're not wanted. and it's extremely difficult. And I honestly shied away from it myself. I thought for a while that I was like, oh, well, I love video games. I could turn that into a career, especially like writing wise. I would love to write video games, but just seeing, and this is kind of a shame because I think the more women involved, the better we would get for all women. But seeing the way women were treated, I was like, you know what? I don't need that. I don't want that part of my life.
It's a treatment that Mary says comes from fear. Not that she herself fully gets that.
I don't understand what the fear is, especially because you want women in your corner. Because those games all the time go to like court cases or they get rulings against them that are like, you have to have labels so kids don't buy it. And who do you want in your corner is women and mothers. You know, I'm going to be a mother someday and I like video games and I'm going to like if my kids play video games. But not if you continually tell me that it's not a space for me.
Yet the online vitriol that so often greets requests for more diverse games proves that the fear is real, at least among some people. But whatever it is, it won't stop everyone from wanting something more. Here's David Brothers again.
Diversity doesn't take anything away. Like, you're not gonna not get stories about white dudes anymore. You know, those are still gonna exist. You just get those stories plus stories about, I don't know, gay men or Jewish women or First Nations peoples in Canada. You know, there's a lot I don't know. And I'm increasingly okay with that, but there's still a lot that I want to know. And the more people tell their stories, even just around me, like if I trip over a story or I find something, you know, it makes my life better to know what they've gone through as well.
For Latino USA, I'm Daisy Rosario.
For more about video games and to check out our other stories in our four-part series on diversity and geekdom, visit latinousa.org.